meet the men from the ministry. We're off for another spin in government circles with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. In a tiny office high above Whitehall, the staff of the General Assistance Department battle with their daily problems. Traditionally, they work as a team, but sometimes there comes a point where the leader must decide on a firm line of action.
I've studied the whole thing carefully, and I'm sure that's the right location.
You know, we've never had such a hard spot the ball contest.
Not if you work it out logically. That's the only place the ball could be.
But aren't footballers allowed to stuff the ball down their shoulders?
No. Don't pass, Mildred. There's a lot of competitions to get through this morning. Did you bring that one from the Sunday Pictorial?
Oh, yes, Mr. Lamb, here you are. Six pictures of girls in bikinis, and you've got to pick the best.
Ah. I like that one who's lying in the surf.
Ah, that's number three, Maureen. And you actually want a poem about her.
Do I? Oh, that shouldn't be difficult. Now, let me see. What a beautiful sight it seems to me where the mountains of Maureen reach down to the sea.
Brilliant. Shall I ask you?
Yes, please, and fill up the coupon with my name and address. Hello, what's this?
Oh, that's my entry for the Appy Snaps contest. I took it myself at home.
Very good photo, Mildred, but I never knew your father had a moustache.
That's not my dad, that's our dog.
Oh. Oh, that sounds like Mr. Lewis Brown. Better hide all the papers.
I wonder why he gets so cross about these contests.
He doesn't like us doing them in ministry time. He feels we should be helping him with his crossword.
Morning,
Morning.
Morning.
Ah, you both look rather guilty. What have you been up to?
Sir.
We haven't been doing newspaper contests, honestly.
Yes, well, I'm glad to hear it. They're a waste of time and money.
Yes, sir.
That's the trouble with this country. People trying to get something for nothing.
Yes, sir.
Any mail for me?
There's a few memos, sir. Oh, and this letter. It's marked personal, so I didn't open it till you got here. I'll do it now.
No. I'll do that. No, don't trouble.
Oh, no trouble, Mr. Lennoxdown. Oh, it's from Ever Smooth Razor Blades. You entered their merry moustache contest.
Yes. Well, I probably filled it in by accident on the train, no doubt. Yeah.
Well, never mind. You've won a car.
Yeah. A car? Have I? A car?
Yeah, this cardboard cut-out racing car, complete with rubber bands. It's a consolation prize.
Oh, I see. Huh. That just proves what I said, doesn't it? Huh? These competitions are a waste of time. I won't have staff doing them in office hours. And the permanent undersecretary feels the same.
Sir Gregory doesn't like staff having any fun at all. Last time he heard me whistling, he'd kick me in the passage. He's got the manners of a Barbary ape.
Careful, too. If he heard you talk like that, you'd be in real trouble.
Now then, you two, I want a word with you.
Oh, good day, Sir Barbary. Good day, Sir Gregory. Hello, sir.
I don't know what's going on in that portion of your anatomy that passes for a mind, Lennox Barnes. But you better sort yourself out. I've a job for the pair of you. You paying attention, Lamb?
Yes, sir. I closed my eyes so that I could hear better.
Well, there's trouble up in Yorkshire. Army gunnery unit in dispute with the local people. They've got a firing range up there, but some of their shells have been going adrift and causing a spot of damage.
Oh, well, where exactly is this?
A little place called Loggerheads. The locals have complained to the Department of the Environment who are on their side. On the other hand, the Minister of Defense say the army must practice somewhere.
Two government departments are in dispute.
Exactly. And someone else will have to sort it out.
Ah, yes. It's a delicate situation.
Indeed. It'll need the patience of Job and the judgment of Solomon.
And I suppose they're not available.
Two. As I understand it, sir, you want an honest broker to arbitrate.
Correct. If you got that into your head, you have it in a nutshell.
You've chosen us, sir.
Now, the pair of you are to go out to Loggerheads on behalf of the government. Talk to the parties involved, the army's commanding officer, and probably the local mayor.
Very good, sir.
Tidy up your affairs here so you can leave at once. Good Lord, what's this? The ever-smooth, merry moustache contest? Have you been wasting ministry time on this rubbish?
There were some rather attractive things to be won.
Government officials are not expected to indulge in such childish pastimes.
General Assistance Department? Yes, dear. What? Oh. All right, I'll tell him. That was your secretary, Sir Gregory. She heard from the Eversmooth people. You've won a prize in their Merry Moustache contest.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah. Well, I dare say my wife entered for me. Well, I've won a prize, have I? The Holiday in Bermuda or the Colour TV?
No, sir. It's another of them assorted consolation prizes. Half a dozen plastic daffodils.
A half dozen plastic daffodils? What the devil can I do with them?
Well.
Be quiet, too. No. Let's have no more of these frivolities. I want you two at loggerheads.
You can rely on us, Sir Gregory.
Get this gunnery business sorted out. I don't want any bungling, and I want you both on a train tomorrow morning.
I rather enjoyed that lunch, too. British Rail took quite a good steak. The wine wasn't bad, either.
I wish I could have lunch on expenses.
Civil servants' grade S are not entitled to that sort of thing. Didn't you bring food with you?
Yes. My landlady did me some prune sandwiches.
Well, I mean, so long as you enjoyed yourself. Oh, and I notice you haven't been idle, either.
I've always had this creative urge. And it's marvellous what you can draw on a carriage window with some heavy breathing and an educated finger.
Yes, so I see. Is it King Kong or Frankenstein's monster?
It's Sir Gregory. I was going to give him a tail, but I ran out of breath. When we get to the army camp, what sort of line do we take?
We should be firm, sir.
Yes.
You'd better let me do the talking. I know the military mind.
You were in the army in the war, weren't you?
Oh, indeed I was. Indeed I was. I'm not one to boast, of course, but I think I saw my fair share of action. I lived on danger, my men used to say.
You were an officer, were you?
Naturally, and a gentleman, yes. Some of those fellows followed me right through the desert, you know, and then up to D-Day and beyond.
You were actually a desert man? Oh.
Well, yes, yes, one of the gallant few, as Mr. Churchill called us. What stories we had to tell, too. I was the toast of the officer's mess.
Did you serve in England at all?
Well, one or two places. They sent me round to inspire the new chaps. I did a brief spell at loggerheads, now come to think of it. Yes.
Really? Perhaps there'll be someone there who remembers you.
Oh, chance. I mean, that was 30 years ago. Did you have any military experience, too?
In a way. Mm-hmm. I was mail order agent for the Army and Navy stores. I went round on my bicycle.
Oh, Laurie, I meant the forces during the war.
Oh, no, I was much too young. I'll be interested to see what an army camp's like.
Sure.
Hello, Brigadier Lee Enfield speaking. About tonight's firing. Complaints from the residents, you say? Oh, nonsense, nonsense. A spot of shelling will wake them up, keep them on their toes. No, no, I refuse to see the delegation. What do they know about artillery? It all goes over their heads. No time to talk now, Colonel. A couple of blasted Whitehall Wallets coming to see me. Well, stand easy. Ah, coming, Sergeant.
The men from the military are here, sir.
March him in, then.
Sir, this way, gentlemen.
Oh, thank you. Good afternoon, Brigadier. My name is Lennox Brown, and this is my junior colleague here, Sir Lamb.
How are you?
Well, what's it to be, eh?
Oh, thank you. I wouldn't say no to a nice cup of tea.
No, no, no. I mean, is it to be a fight, or are you supporting the army?
You've got to be firm, my friend.
Brigadier, there have been some serious complaints from the people of Loggerhead.
One lady said a stray shell blew the roof off her outhouse. And she was in it at the time.
And what about the church steeple?
Well, we rebuilt it, didn't we? Only the vicar noticed it was the wrong way up. Oh, stupid fuss some people make. You can tell these so-called citizens they're blasted well lucky to have us army chaps here. We are defending them from the Ruskies, you see. Not to mention the Nippos and the Huns.
Brigadier, that war was over some time ago.
But it wouldn't take us long to get it going again.
By the way, did you say your name was Lennox Bryan? Lennox Bryan?
I did, yes.
Well, I remember you. I thought that twitching moustache was familiar. You served in this unit in the war, under me.
Good Lord. You were Captain Lee Enfield.
And you were in my company.
It was a long time ago, of course. I mean, I was only here a short while.
After he'd been a desert rat.
A desert rat? He spent the whole of his army service here, in the cookhouse.
Well, you told me.
Two. My memory plays tricks, that's all.
I'm not likely to forget you, Private Lennox Bryan. You were always up on some charge.
Private Lennox Bryan?
Leave it to his memory plays tricks as well.
Mr. Lennox Brown was an officer, Brigadier. He was the toast of the officer's mess.
He was a private in the catering corps, and he burnt to the toast in the officer's mess. He was the worst soldier in the army. He was in the guardroom so often, he'd time to paint a huge mural of Anne Shelton on the wall of one of the cells.
Yes, well, we mustn't bore Mr. Lamb, Brigadier, swapping our wartime yarn.
Say, sir, when you speak to me, Lennox Brown, and take your hands out of your pocket.
Yes, sir.
And stand up straight. You look like a pinstripe banana. What do you look like?
A pinstripe banana, sir.
And another thing. Go and polish your boots.
Yes, sir. I did not. Just a minute. You can't speak to me like that. I'm a civilian, no? I don't have to stay here and be insulted.
No, I'm sure you don't. The way you go on, it could happen to you anywhere.
I've formed my conclusions on the army side of this case. I shall now go and see the mayor of Loggerheads, who may receive me with more civility.
Should I come with you, Bunce?
You stay here, young man. You look like a chap with some moral fiber. We may be able to talk.
Yes, well, you'd better stay, too. Perhaps you can make him see sense.
Good night, Lennox Bryan, before I put you on fatigues.
I've just done.
Damn pinko, if you ask me. Were you an army or a navy man, Mr. Lamb?
I worked for the army and navy, actually.
Oh, you worked for both.
I was an agent, you see.
An agent? Oh, by George. That really takes guts. You need grit for that, eh? Nerves of steel.
Yes, and a bicycle.
Bicycle? Oh, your little joke, eh? Well done, well done. Well, have a brandy, my dear fellow. Lennox Bryan will get nowhere with those loggerhead people. Bunch of disorderly rabble.
Order, lads! Order, order! Let's have a bit of order. Now then, as Mayor of Loggerheads, I call on this meeting to approve tougher action against the army.
Mr. Swan, may I say something? I said, may I say something, Mr. Swan?
What is it, Edgar? If you want to leave the meeting, you don't have to ask. Only try not to flood the washroom this time.
No, I just wanted to say we shouldn't take the law into our own hands. I said we shouldn't take the law into our own hands.
Oh, what's your row, Edgar? You stand here clutching your manifesto.
But I'd never exercise it, Mr. Swan. I said, I never exercise it. The ministry men are going to help us.
Ministry men? They're no use. They couldn't sell a tiger skin to a naked tiger. No, we've got to fight for our rights.
Here. Direct action. That's what's called for.
Oh, hello, Miss Prynne. You got away then?
Yes. It's early closing day. I'm sorry, I'm late. I was showing the banner for our protest march.
That's the idea. They've ignored our letters. This march will show them we mean it.
We'll storm the gates. If the soldiers try to stop us, we'll thump them. Duff up the male chauvinist pigs.
Thank you, Germaine. Now, that's the spirit we want. We'll stage a sit-in round the guns, so they'll not be able to fire them.
Oh, that sounds a bit drastic. I said that sounds
it's
a bit
not drastic. The army authorities have been ruthless.
Aye, and we'll show them we've even less ruth.
The only way to silence that big gun is to put a man down the barrel.
A man down the barrel? It'll have to be a pretty brave man. I said it'll have to be a pretty brave man.
He'll have to be brave. Whether he's pretty or not is beside the point.
Put a man down the gun. It's an idea. But can we find a man of the right caliber?
Every cause produces its own martyr. There's always someone to step into the breach.
Oh, good afternoon, everyone. This is the Loggerheads Action Committee.
Ah, that's right, lad.
Oh, well, I'm Lennox Brown from the Ministry, and I've been asked to arbitrate in your dispute with the army.
Well, we're not opposed to arbitration, as long as we get our own way. Those blasted shells go whistling overhead. They make life impossible at bedtime. I'm not having it.
The army has ridden roughshod over our protests.
Well, I can believe it, madam. I've seen their commanding officer and formed the most adverse impression. I'm on your side.
Well, that's good news, Mr. Lennox Brown. Sit down, why don't you? Edgar, give the gentleman your chair.
Oh, I said, oh.
Thank you. Well, perhaps we could discuss the whole matter. Give me all the details.
Well, I think that concludes our business. Mr. Lennox Brown will advance our cause through official channels. The rest of us will continue with the peaceful protest we previously discussed.
And we shall win. I'm not going to let a bunch of soldiers get on top of me.
I'll now declare this meeting closed. Wake up, Edgar. The meeting's over.
I heard, Mr. Swan. There's no need to repeat yourself. I said there's no need to repeat yourself.
Oh, come on, then. We've things to arrange for tonight. Bye-bye now, Miss Friend. Mr. Lennox Brown.
Bye. See you later. I said see you later.
Yes, well, I'd better be off too, Miss Prim. As I understand it, you're calling on the army this evening to complain.
One moment, Mr. Lennox Brown. I think we've met before.
Oh, have we?
You were a soldier here at Loggerheads, weren't you? Many years ago.
Well, yes, I was, as a matter of fact. When war came and Britain called her young lions to prey.
And you used to go to the Nappy Canteen. You drank your tea from an old chipped mug. Usually somebody else's.
The Nappy? Yes, yes, I did. Good Lord. Your Elsie friend. You served in the bar in the Nappy.
That's right. I suppose I've changed in 30 years.
Anything else, Elsie? We called you.
And I had a nickname for you, didn't I? Tiger.
Tiger? My word, so you did, yes. Oh, how the memories come flooding back. The hokey-cokey on Saturday nights.
Sharing our all sorts at the pictures.
Those long summer evenings behind the listener.
With that glorious view across the bay.
I never saw it, you know. My glasses kept steaming up.
I've always remembered you, Tiger. I kept those cuttings from your moustache.
Well. Oh, it's good to see you again. I'm glad I might be of some help in your campaign.
Why don't you come with us when we call on the army this evening? We're all marching up the hill together.
Oh, I'd like to join.
We want you in the van.
Oh, good, yes. Well, my marching days are over, I'm afraid. My feet aren't what they were.
No, the vanguard. You'll be leading the march.
No, I don't really...
Tiger. Surely your fire hasn't burnt itself out. Tiger, burning bright. You lead us up that hill tonight.
Thank you for showing me round the gun sights, Brigadier. It's all very impressive.
Enough to put the wind up the jerrys, eh? Try anything here and we'd blast them off the face of the earth.
About these local people, Brigadier.
We can't blast them, unfortunately. War Office won't allow it. Mind you, we don't have to stand any nonsense. They're threatening a protest march this evening, you know.
Really?
Yes. Well, let's hope your colleague proves a moderating influence. Is he a moderate man?
Oh, yes. He's moderate to the point of mediocrity.
Well, if they do march up here, we're ready for them. I notice the BBC are expecting trouble. They've sent a newsreel van and cameras.
Yeah, someone's tipped them off about the protest march.
If they haven't organized it themselves. You know what these damn BBC fellows are like. Bunch of pansies with mohair pullovers. Look at them. They're getting all set to film the action.
Yeah, I think this corporal wants a word with you.
Excuse me, Brigadier.
Oh, it's you, Trevor. How's everything?
Oh, our preparations are complete, sir, for dealing with any civilian rowdiness. Anyone gets cheeky, we'll have them.
Well done. Good, Ned. Oh, Mr. Lamb, this is our camp orderly. Corporal Joy.
How do you do?
Oh, very nicely, thank you. All defences are fully mustered, sir, including the flamethrowers.
Now, listen to me, Mr. Lamb.
Yes, sir.
You stand by number 4 gun and look fierce. Terrify them.
Like this?
Yeah. No. Your normal expression might be better. They'll think you're unhinged. Right. I'll now go and infuriate the guard dogs. You look after Mr. Lamb, Trevor.
Right, sir. Now, don't be nervous, Mr. Lamb. Oh, and pardon me for mentioning it, but I shouldn't hang your brolly on that red lever. We don't want the gun to go off, do we?
No, we don't. Hello. Someone's coming over from the BBC van.
Oh, I say, it's that Scots chap with the beard and the funny hat. I've seen him on telly.
Good evening. Well, as you probably gathered, I'm Forth Robinson from the BBC.
Ah, you're here to cover the process, Mark.
Uh-huh. But I don't want to be involved in any roughhouse. There's a lot of valuable BBC equipment here, including myself.
Quite right, Mr. Robinson, ducky. Now, why don't you set up your gear on the roof of the mess? You get a perfect view, and no one can touch you. If that's what you want, of course.
Well, thank you very much. I'll do that.
We'll send someone up with a flask of hot porridge.
I shouldn't think they'll march now. You know, I expect my colleagues to calm them down.
Man to the pitches, prepare for action.
Oh, dear.
The enemy are coming.
The enemy?
Those damn civilians. They've started to march up the hill with banners and placards and that sort of rot.
Well, we're ready for them, sir.
Oh, indeed we are. Ugly-looking bunch. And I've been watching the leader through my binoculars. Some real firebrands there, I can tell you. Never saw a more villainous crowd. They look capable of in it.
I hope we're not frightening the army, you know. Do we need to march any further? We've established our point, haven't we?
Nonsense, Tiger. Hmm? We shall march right up the hill and into the camp, to the very guns themselves.
You've shown us the way, Lennox Brown. We'll not back down now.
Enter the jaws of death, Roger 600. I said enter the
jaws of death. All right, Edgar. We heard you. Oishaw.
Don't think I'm not in sympathy with your cause. I have a position to maintain.
Come along, Tiger. You're our leader.
That's a job I never sought, you know. And
take his arm, Mr. Swan, in case he flags. Come along, everyone. Forward fast. Hands up, chest out, and swing those arms.
Well, viewers, this is Forth Robinson here, and I'm looking down on a truly amazing scene as the feud between the people of Loggerheads and their local soldiery erupts into confrontation. A protest group is now inside the camp, having marched through the town and up Fanny Hill. They're bent on sitting in around the guns. Indeed, their leader, a wild-looking man in a bowler hat, is actually being helped into the barrel of the largest gun. When I say helped, I must say he appears strangely reluctant. In fact, just now he seemed to be running away from his supporters, but they chased him round the guns and grabbed him by the bofors. Well, he's in the barrel now, and I can just see his pinstripe legs kicking and waving. And with him inside the gun, the army daren't fire it. Or dare they? My word!
You half-baked nippet, Leonard Brown. You made the problem 10 times worse. Offending the commanding officer, leading a protest march, trespassing in a gun.
Mr. Regan, I'm not the only one to blame. It was Lamb who fired the shot.
Lucky it wasn't the gun you were in, sir.
Mr. Lamb was right to fire that gun. He did it, obviously, to warn off the crowd.
I did? I did, yes.
That warning shot dispersed the marchers.
It also dispersed the statue on Loggerhead's seafront. Queen Victoria lost her crown and scepter and now looks like Ina Sharple.
Don't try to detract from your colleague, Leonard Brown. Lamb's conduct throughout this affair has been exemplary.
Is that good, Mr. Lamb?
If it isn't, I don't want to know.
Well, it's for you, Leonard Brown, consorting with that rabble, getting yourself locked up in the guardroom for 2 days. What did you achieve?
Well, I touched up my mural of Anne Shelton.
Quiet, man. Thanks to you, the feeling between town and army is now impossible. The Minister of Defense agreed with me. The only solution was to move the army unit.
Move the army unit, sir?
Yes, and as Mr. Lamb has shown such judgment in this matter, I asked him to find an open space near London. I take it you succeeded, Mr. Lamb.
Oh, yes, Sir Gregory. The unit's already moved to the new place I found. They start firing practice today.
Well done. Where exactly is this site?
It's not just near London, Sir Gregory. It's in London.
An open space in London suitable for a firing range?
Yes, ma'am. Look, here on the map. This big green area with the wood to the north of it. It seems almost uninhabited. There's just this cottage over here.
Dude, that's Lord's cricket ground. That's St. John's Wood and that's Swiss cottage.
What was that?
Oh, dear. Have I made a boo-boo?
And you said we start firing today.
And here is the news read by John Kerr. There were dramatic events today at Lord's where the third test match broke up in confusion. The Australian batsman Hardwick, who had defied England's bowlers all yesterday, was finally dismissed when soldiers appeared and began firing guns. Hardwick retired hurt when the blast blew off his bails. Players and crowd fled in confusion. The army continued artillery practice, causing some damage throughout the West End. In Parliament, an opposition MP was saying it was time the government came under fire when a shell hit him in the back benches. Several ministers are believed to have woken up. Another shell ripped a hole in the wall of London's Stripperama club. The army are sending some men to look into it.
Mr. Lamb, you seem to be enjoying these newspaper contests again. You went quite off them for a while, didn't you?
It was that army disaster last June, Mildred. It ruined my concentration.
Shame.
I began competing again 3 weeks ago. Mind you, I still can't bear to think about the army. If I so much as pass the recruiting poster, I get shooting pains.
There's some men here, see.
Maybe you won a contest at last.
You've been filling in forms in newspapers again, haven't you?
Well, just the last few weeks, one. It gives me an interest, you see.
You would be sorry you filled in that form in the Chronicle. No doubt you thought it was some sort of contest. It was actually a recruiting form for the army.
The army? They can't recruit me for the army.
Seems you volunteered. Oh, here are the two men now.
Blimey! Military police!
This way, please. Lord, jump to it, lad. Joint, please. Joint, please. Joint, get him up there. Get him up, boy. Joint, get him up.